bu ba bu ba bam ba bu ba bu ba 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 bu ba bu ba bam ba bu ba bu ba bam ba bu ba bu ba 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 bu ba bu ba ba.
What, Wendy? What?
I just
tell me what.
Get mad at cell phones sometimes.
You don't like cell phones, Wendy? They've revolutionized the world. The cell phone.
I know, but we were talking to actor Brett Gelman, yeah. And it was just frustrating when the phone goes awry.
Yeah.
Or wheat.
You would almost think that by now they would have perfected the cell phone technology, and yet still you'll be talking to somebody like Brett Gelman from Fleabag, and it'll come and go. The conversation will come and go. Now, normally, if it were real life, like we're just doing our radio show, so we give it a little extra, you know, because obviously we know there's a problem, but you're like, if we hang up on him, will he call us back? Will we get an even worse signal next time? But in real life, if that happens, you just dump out on it, right? You just go, well, this isn't meant to be, and you hang up.
No, I call them back. You do. You're a rude talker.
Just dump out on it. I go, this isn't going
to
happen.
It happened to me yesterday. I was talking to my sisters on the way to Portillo's to pick up dinner because I did not cook last night.
Mm-hmm.
They have a great hot dog, I got to tell you.
Portillo's? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. They're known for it.
Yes, I know. And my sister was like, what? And I was just talking, and then it was like, oh, I'll call you back. And I bailed out of myself.
Yeah.
Because it was, you know, everybody has them. That's what the problem is.
Right. They should only give them to certain people. Who should they give them to?
How would radio they make the people.
Well, radio people, certainly. And foreign diplomats. And sports stars. That's it.
Like Booger McFarlane.
Booger McFarlane should have a cell phone.
I still can't figure out why he goes by that.
McFarlane, funny name. I, by the way, speaking of our interview just now with Brett Gelman, I did a bunch of research about him, and I found out this story about his wife, who is a writer, and she wrote a film that he was in, and they fell in love on the set, and I was going to bring that up, and then he revealed that he and his wife were no longer together. I think there should be some notation on a computer. If there's a story like that, it should flash or something, as if to say, if you're going to ask the guy about his wife, be careful, because it might not be
true. Well, you didn't.
Anymore. I didn't ask, luckily. But I came within an inch. I was right about there, and I'm glad I didn't, because then he would have hung up on us.
No, he said, you know, he did a project with his now friend ex-wife.
He worded it interestingly. But he let us know that they were no longer together, but he still said very nice things about her.
Well,
that's very nice.
Some people could do that. I would never be that person.
Yeah.
I don't.
You would say rude things about your ex?
Probably. I mean, I don't know. I can't.
Some people make it work, Wendy. You've seen this.
And it's amazing. You know, respect anyone who does anything that makes them happy.
Yes.
That's the bottom line.
Well said. Well said. Do you remember yesterday at this time? Go back to yesterday at this time, Wendy. I was telling you a story about how my wife and I were eating at a restaurant, and we were outdoors, and there was a man smoking and going out of his way. He was smoking a cigar that smelled like banana leaves and sweat. Which is a flavor of cigar that I didn't think would sell well, but evidently they do in some parts of Chicago.
Well, banana leaves isn't bad. It's like banana nut bread.
Yeah, but...
Like rotten bananas?
Yeah, it wasn't good. But I told you the story about how it was handled, or in my opinion, mishandled at the restaurant, where they tried to move the man away, but they weren't very successful at it. Did you see this story out of Utah? A restaurant owner sprayed a fire extinguisher in the face of a man who refused to put out his cigarette while smoking outside of his business.
And I bet is now charged with assault.
I bet he can't do that. You're not supposed to use a fire extinguisher in the face of a guy smoking. You're not supposed to.
Well, that's assault.
It is assault.
Or battery. It's one of the two.
Yes.
I don't know the difference.
I'm not positive I do either.
Thank God we're not the Briskman and Briskman villains.
I'm trying to think of if I do, and I don't know what is the exact difference of assault and battery.
Well, I'll find that out.
They seem similar, don't they?
Yeah, they go together.
If you're going to do one, you would probably do the other. Like, why would you assault a person and say, I'm going to stop right there because I'm right on the edge of committing battery. I'm going to stop.
It goes together like Crete and Moni.
Yes.
Like, what are the same?
Homewood and Flossmore.
Minneapolis, St. Paul.
Yeah. The Smothers Brothers. A restaurant owner, I already told you this part, but I'm going to say it again for those of you just tuning in. A restaurant owner sprayed a fire extinguisher in the face of a man who refused to put out his cigarette while smoking outside the business. The man, identified by local media as Alex Jameson. Well, you knew that guy was going to snap, didn't you?
At some point.
Alex Jameson. I've been watching him closely. Can be seen in a video, which is circulating online, threatening to put out the smoker's cigarette with the small portable fire extinguisher.
That's assault, the threat of bodily harm.
So if you threaten somebody, you have committed assault, but when you follow through,
that's battery.
That's the battery part.
That's the actual physical impact. Right. So he has both.
Yeah, he did assault and battery. You get a discount if you do both.
It's a two for Tuesday.
You get 10% off if you commit both at the same time. When the smoker, John Bird, defiantly takes another drag. Now, this part is very similar
You're
to
right.
the story I told you. Because there's confrontation, there's uneasiness, and then the smoker goes, oh yeah, how about this? And then smokes even bigger.
It was like a spite drag.
Yeah, it's a spite drag. That's exactly what it is, Wendy, a spite drag. When the smoker, John Bird, defiantly takes another drag, Mr. Jameson lifts the device, that's the fire extinguisher, and fires a jet of white powder straight into Mr. Bird's face.
Can't do that.
Nope. You're not supposed to do that.
You keep saying you're not supposed to.
You're not supposed to. But
you can't.
I can understand in the heat of the moment where somebody might do something like this.
Well, then you'd get arrested.
That's why I don't carry a fire extinguisher on me anymore. Remember the old days?
The little baby one, yes.
You'd hear me coming down the hall. I'd be clunking real loud, and you go, oh, Bill's got his fire extinguisher again.
It's that pin that was jingling and jangling.
Right. That was the
problem. I don't even know if I'd know how to use. Can I just say that?
We have one in our kitchen, and every once in a while I look at it, and I say, I should practice on this. Maybe if somebody comes over and smokes, I'll have a chance to practice on
it. Invite this guy over.
Yeah, John Bird. Mr. Bird told a local TV station in Salt Lake City where the fracas occurred. Have you ever been involved in a fracas or a fracas?
Yeah, I don't know which way. I think it's fracas.
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 Hudson Pepp Incorporated. He was in the area volunteering at a nearby arts festival. Oh, that's where you play up the sympathy. But sir, I was just here to volunteer at a nearby arts festival. And he believed he was permitted to smoke in that part of the street. See, now again, the parallel to my story, and they show a picture of it. I can't show you because it's the radio.
But was it near a food item?
It was set up almost exactly to the story I was telling you, where you have your outdoor, you have your restaurant set back a little bit, you have your outdoor cafe, and then some tables are closer to the sidewalk than others, you know what I mean? And there is some barrier separating the restaurant from the sidewalk, and he, much like the guy I encountered on Friday, is right there at the edge, right between restaurant property and sidewalk property.
Yeah, that seems rude when people are eating.
It does, doesn't it? It does. He was next to some outdoor seating for a restaurant believed to be part run by Mr. Jameson. Utah state law prohibits smoking within 25 feet of the entrance of any business.
That's, we talked about this yesterday.
Well, that's tricky because the entrance can be, like in my case, I know I was more than 25 feet away from the entrance, but I was right on that border of sidewalk restaurant.
Yeah, that's still their property, though.
It should be 25 feet from the property, right? From the entire property, don't you think?
Well, it would make it hard for smokers to run out and have a smoke in between meals. And I know you don't smoke, but, you know, smokers are people, too.
Yeah, smokers are people,
and
too.
And they're jokers.
Smokers are jokers. That's true. I know you're kidding, Wendy, but you're not. That's very true. At the start of the video, Mr. Jameson argues with Mr. Bird and another man. I'm guessing that other man was a smoker's advocate. You know how a lot of smokers will walk close by to a smoker's advocate in case of a fracas like this, Wendy? He had a smoker's advocate. Where was I? I'm going to have to start over.
No.
The other man about whether or not they were within the 25-foot boundary of the business. So that was the conversation at the time. Where exactly are you in relation to the 25-foot boundary? That's what they were discussing. Loudly, I'm guessing.
Fracas.
Fracas.
You're right.
Sometimes I do say fracas, but usually I say fracas.
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 Thank you, man.
City air pollution is as bad for you. Oh, I'm sorry. That's a separate story, Wendy, that I'll share with you. That's a story tomorrow. For another day, literally. Right. I mean, a lot of times people say that. They don't mean it, but that is a story for another day. Immediately after the fire extinguisher is sprayed in the smoker's face, someone off camera can be heard saying, call the cops.
Yeah, that's assault. And it's battery by that point.
Well, there was a threat first. So this is, well, that becomes both then, doesn't it?
Yes.
You followed through. You got to applaud a guy for following through. So many
no,
people.
No, you don't. You got to arrest a guy that follows through.
That's what I meant to say. The camera can be heard. I'm sorry. Off camera can be heard. Call the cops. To which Mr. Jameson confidently responds, call the cops. So the man doing the spraying, he even says, yes, bring in the police.
Why? He's just going to get arrested.
I wonder. Because it's his restaurant.
You can't assault spray people someone or batterize. I don't know.
What if he had a super soaker? Because that's not as bad.
If your aim was good and you could just get the tip of the cigarette, then no one would be complaining.
You should get a reward for that.
You should start carrying around a super soaker.
Right.
Ting, ting.
That's my conceal and carry, is I have a super soaker on me at all times.
What would it sound like when you're squirting it? See? You should do that. Because the smoker would laugh at that point.
Right. Then everyone would be friends.
And they'd maybe go, see, that's what we all need, is to share a smile or
a
laugh.
Wendy, truer words never spoken than what you just said.
I'm not even kidding. If you were squirting and the guy looked at you and said, can I help you? And you just go, yeah, I was trying to put your cigarette out. He'd probably laugh and put the cigarette out.
Everyone would be friends. Could I just make that noise? Could I not have a super soaker and just, like, with my finger, just go...
No, then he would think you'd need
something
help.
Something was wrong with me. He wouldn't be far from off on that. Salt Lake City police did arrive later, but by that time, Mr. Jameson had left. He left his own establishment. How about that? Page 2. Mr. Bird believes he has been assaulted and has hired a lawyer to press charges against the restaurant owner.
I agree.
Yeah, I guess you have to at that point, right? Keep an eye out for this guy at the Gallivan Center, Mr. Bird posted on the Facebook underneath, a screen grab from the video of the altercation. So on his Facebook page, he took a picture of the owner and said, keep an eye out for this guy at the Gallivan Center. Need to get his info. He assaulted me and then ran from the scene before the cops showed up. Does anyone know any attorneys that can help? I never thought that this would happen. Salt Lake City Police said Mr. Jameson may be facing an assault charge and urge people to contact them before a similar dispute could get out of hand in the future. That's a very policey thing to say. We don't want this sort of thing on the streets of Salt Lake City. If you find yourself in a similar altercation, please, by all means, come to us before it elevates.
And I may be wrong. Assault is the act of inflicting physical harm or unwanted physical contact upon a person, or in some specific legal definitions, a threat or attempt to commit such an action. It is both a crime and a tort. Well, the cherry tort.
Delicious.
And therefore...
It is a restaurant. Maybe that's their specialty. Would you like me to commit a tort or serve you one? Oh, I don't care. Either one. I'm good either way.
Stop it! And therefore may result in either criminal and or civil liability.
Oh, no.
So assault is the act of inflicting physical harm. Now I got to figure out what battery is.
I thought your first explanation was
it was. It was
right
wrong.
One. Did they change it since we've been talking about this?
Bill, there's a lot of information that's fake news on the internet.
I know.
Battery is definition by Weary. Merriam-Webster.
What does he say?
The act of beating someone or something with successive blows, an offensive touching or use of force on a person without the person's consent.
So you have to ask a person before you wail on them?
May I hit you?
Right. I was considering wailing upon you. Is that okay by you? Could you initial here, please? Thank you. Let the wailing begin.
One love.
Right. Breaking the whalers. We got some whaling to do.
I got to find the difference because I need an attorney.
Yes.
312-235-2525. I can't figure out the difference.
I'm not sure what the difference is. On Monday, Wendy, the story continues. On Monday, Mr. Jameson published a sprawling statement on Facebook which both apologized for spraying Mr. Bird, but then also defended himself.
Well, you can't do both.
Well, he tried. He claimed before the video began, the pair had previously argued about Mr. Bird smoking much nearer to his restaurant, which then ended up with him blowing smoke in Mr. Jameson's face. This, again...
Is that assault?
I think it is.
Because you're an anti-smoker.
Right. Right. And because I could never do those smoke rings.
I smoked a long time in my life. I still can't do... I could never, ever do
the
a smoke ring.
The only good thing about smoking was you'd have an uncle who could do the smoke rings.
I just bought that little monkey that smoked the cigarette.
Oh, the smoking monkey?
And if you squeezed it just so...
He would do the rings?
Yeah.
Was my behavior on Friday the right way to handle the situation? Of course not. Am I sorry? Absolutely. These, again, the words of Mr. Jameson. Did I mean to cause that man harm or pain?
Yes.
Definitely not, according to Ms. Wendy. He says definitely not. And I'll say this about Mr. Jameson. He's a man of his word. If he says he's going to spray you with a fire extinguisher, he follows through. But Mr. Jameson, who described himself as Mr. Extinguisher, a.k.a. the biggest blank blank on the planet, he's talking about himself here, said he was done groveling, claiming he was simply defending his customer's lungs and that the contents of the extinguisher were significantly less toxic than Mr. Bird's secondhand smoke. Do you believe that or not?
No, and then you should get a doctor in to check that out.
Which is worse for you? Standing next to a smoker or being sprayed with a fire extinguisher?
I'd have to go being sprayed by a fire extinguisher.
Certainly more forceful.
And more chemicals, different chemicals.
Yes.
I don't know the gist of it. What's the difference between assault and battery? Two different things. You can commit an assault or a battery, but they're separate, distinct offenses. There is no such offense as assault and battery. They stand alone.
I would not have known that.
The Illinois Criminal Code divides crimes into two main categories, offenses directed against property and offenses directed against the person. Mm-hmm. Offenses against property include things like theft, robbery, burglary, arson, disorderly conduct.
More calling arson. That's my tribute to Conrad Janis.
That's genius.
Thank you.
The primary offenses against people include homicide, kidnapping, sex offenses, and bodily harm. Assault and battery are the two basic bodily harm offenses.
Yep.
The code says an assault is committed when someone, quote, engages in conduct which places another in reasonable apprehension of receiving battery. So
that
it is
like
a threat.
That sounds like a threat.
And this is the Illinois code. It's real. It's a threat, real or implied, of a battery or an incomplete battery. So it's a threat.
So they're saying that they are, because the part that confuses me is it said that you can't commit assault and battery. Because I thought, why couldn't you? You could threaten somebody. You could say, I've got a baseball bat. I'm going to hit you in 5 seconds and then count down and then hit them. That's assault and battery.
Well, the code says a battery is committed when someone, quote, causes bodily harm to an individual or makes physical contact of an insulting or provoking nature with an individual. To be criminal, the person must act intentionally or knowingly without legal justification. The intent, then, is specifically required for a battery. You can't inadvertently batter someone. Even if a dog distinguishes between being stumbled over and being kicked, although it's classified as bodily harm offense, just contact can be enough. One case says a finger poke at the chest is battery. So if you ever touch someone and go, hey, put that cigarette out,
right,
that they can go.
The mere touch alone is the battery.
So it says that I don't know why you can't do together. Simple victims that make an aggravated assault are those. This doesn't answer the question.
Still doesn't answer it? Hmm.
So assault. Oh, you'd get two charges. It just wouldn't be assault and battery doesn't go together. It would be
either or,
charges
or
of assault and
or battery. Okay, that makes more sense.
But yeah, assault is the threat. I'm going to get you, sucker.
That's assault. Right? I've been assaulted, but not battered. Or beer battered, which is delicious. Have you had
or
that?
Peppered.
Peppered is always good.
Well, pepper spray, you'd be peppered.
Yep. Assault and peppered.
Yeah.
All right. Kim will come by. Well, she's already here. I see her. Hi,
I'm
Kim.
Here. And right. She hasn't left yet.
No. This is shocking to both of us. She will give us the news and then more discussion. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right. I still don't really understand, other than assault is threatening someone and battery is when you go through with it.
That's what it seems. Yeah.
But they're two separate things. They don't go together.
I think battery is the actual physical aspect.
Yes.
Yeah. Once you touch the person, then you're on the line for battery.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So can somebody technically, if you shake someone's hand and you squeeze too hard, technically that could be battery?
I think that could. What about the thing that most older brothers know this trick, where you take your brother's hand and you hit them and you say, why are you hitting yourself?
Yeah. That's self-battery.
That's self-battery. Right. And what is 9-volt battery? You told me this off air.
Square.
It's a square battery.
Rectangle, technically.
That's your 9-volt battery right there. Thank you.
Put those in your smoke detectors.
Always. Yeah.
Bust it.
Can I just read a text that I might be the only person who thinks this is brilliant? I hope I'm not. Since you guys are talking about assault, what about Veruca assault?
How do you text that in yourself and then read your own material?
It's not mine. That's brilliant.
That's a good one.
That's, you know, because you got a little bit of Willy Wonka in there. You have a little bit of whatever we're discussing in there. Congrats to you, Texter. That was great. Somebody else said, since we're talking about torts, they don't want any assault on their tort, which is, that's fun also.
What if it's an assaulted caramel tort?
Then you got something.
Because that sea salt caramel thing.
That's the flavor of the year. If you go, have you been to the store, Kim?
Yes.
If you
just any ice cream.
Not just ice cream. Yeah. Everything. Much as pumpkin spice has bombarded our society the last couple of years, sea salt caramel is the flavor of the decade.
Sea salt caramel wins by a mile over pumpkin spice.
Oh, I'm with you.
And I love pumpkin, but they've just overdone it with the pumpkin.
Too saturated.
There's just too many things that are pumpkin spice that shouldn't be pumpkin spice.
Explain this, though. I'm sensitive to salt. I don't like salt. If something even has a trace amount of salt in it, I don't like it. But if I know it's sea salt caramel, I'm on board.
Well, sea salt isn't as salty as table salt.
It's not.
That flaky salt. And there's something about the combination of salty and sweet that is just perfect.
My favorite dessert that I make, I think my sister made this like when she was in college at U of I, and they all shared a big house. And she just called it 8x8. It's not a very exciting name because it was made in an 8x8 pan. Oh. But you just take that Thank You brand cherry pie filling.
Uh-huh.
You put it on the bottom of an 8x8 pan.
Yeah.
You take Jiffy, a small little box of Jiffy yellow cake mix.
Yeah.
Drizzle it over dry, over the cherries. Then you melt a stick of butter. Pour it over the top, and then you add pecans. So
in
the
Kentucky,
salt.
They call that a dump cake.
Okay, that's all right.
You're
really
just dumping everything. Yeah.
All right, and it's salty and sweet
really
and tart,
yes.
And it's the best thing. 8x8.
You had me until the which nuts would
pecans.
You use? Pecans. Could you use other kinds of nuts? Could you use cashews?
Yeah.
No, it wouldn't be good. Maybe walnuts or almonds. I don't think a cashew.
The pecans
would be.
Are really
hazelnuts. Maybe.
Yeah. Oh, I might consider a hazelnut in there. Yeah.
I don't like that either.
Hmm.
It really works with the pecan.
It would be good that way?
Yeah. They're just pecan chips. They're real tiny.
Oh, it's not real obtrusive? It doesn't alter the flavor
much? No, it almost makes like a little crumble. You know how like when you have a cobbler with like an oatmeal nutty kind of buttery crumble? That's kind of what happens with the Jiffy mix.
Yeah, it's the dump cake. God,
that's what it's called,
a
dump cake.
My mom had a couple things that she made and I can't find the recipes. Not that I'd be able to recreate it, but I could find somebody to recreate it. I can't find the recipes. She had a couple of cookbooks that I have gone through page to page to see if I could find them. I can't find them anywhere.
What do you describe them? Yeah, Kim and I might be able to help.
There was something that she made, and all I remember was the bulk of it were those Nestle's butterscotch morsels.
Oh,
so they were
seven-layer bars.
Yeah,
seven-layer
bars.
With coconut, and you put the evaporated milk on the top and the graham cracker crust?
I know for sure there was no coconut in it.
Okay.
I just know that your main flavor, they were like brownies. They were similar to brownies.
Scotchies.
But had...
Like a blonde brownie,
but
with butterscotch.
Yeah, kind of like that. But I've looked, and I'm sure online they'd have it somewhere. But
you have to know what was in it.
Yeah, that's the key.
Was there chocolate in it or just butterscotch?
If there was chocolate in it, it didn't have much of to do with the flavor. You got a lot of butterscotch flavor in it. I don't know.
Was there a frosting?
No.
Butterscotch brownies. There's a
I bet it was like a blondie, but she just left out the chocolate chips.
What is that exactly?
It's like a Toll House cookie, but you bake it like a brownie, and then you put chocolate chips in there.
Maybe
she just said butterscotch.
It's a blondie.
That's what it is.
Yeah. Without, because a brownie, this says that the butterscotch brownies don't have chocolate in it. It's just.
I don't remember there being chocolate.
Brown sugar, egg.
Yeah,
the same stuff. Walnuts, were there nuts?
No nuts. Nut free.
Nuts make everything better.
Do they? Yeah.
Yeah.
I love nuts.
Yeah.
Is it because you're from the South? Because I'm just from Brookfield. I'm not really from the South. But like nuts always make a cookie better to me.
I mean, but
brownies.
I will just eat nuts.
Yeah, I like nuts.
As a kid, my favorite snack would be to go to Kmart and get the warm cashews from the snack bar.
Yeah,
gosh.
Little Nut Hut. They used to have that
quarter
in bars.
Pound. Oh.
Yeah.
Warm salted cashews, nothing better.
Is there still, Wendy, you'll know this because you're a White Sox fan. There was an ice cream shop/restaurant right by White Sox Park called David's for years. Is that still up? Do you know?
I don't know about that. I know Rainbow Cone
Rainbow Cone's
I love
famous.
That.
But we would, not all the time, but sometimes we would go to David's and whatever ice cream creation you would get, they would always just bury it in nuts. And even if you'd say, mm-hmm. Back then, nut allergies didn't exist,
right.
Or nobody knew about them. But if you'd say, "I hate," please, no nuts. They would
they'd
write that down.
Extra.
They'd still bring you like gobs and gobs of nuts. I don't even know
I
if they're still there.
David's.
There was a place in Louisville too that made these. It was called Finelli's, and they had these. I don't know how you could recreate them, but they were like these just chopped up nuts, but they kind of had the sweet, salty taste, and they would put those on top of the sundae, and there was nothing better. You couldn't get them
like
anywhere else.
Like how big? Cause sometimes
just like very tiny little chips.
Now, that I could deal with, but it was the big honking.
Yeah, no.
Oh, I love those.
You like them?
Praline
the
pecans, those big-ass ones.
Yeah, that works.
Oh, I love them.
So good.
You have some news about a television show that you enjoyed greatly.
I loved Making a Murderer, and there's some news coming over. This was just 4 hours ago, and I'm kind of confused.
This was the story about the murderer in Wisconsin that took place years ago.
Yes.
Kind of a documentary. They did two seasons of it, right?
Yeah, you know, I don't know if I watched the second season. Oh. I know that there was a woman, Teresa Halbach, that was murdered, and Stephen Avery was arrested for that, and his nephew Brendan Dassey.
Remind me, because I'm trying to remember all the details. Wasn't this where he was trying to sell a car through like an Auto Trader type place? It might have been Auto Trader, was it?
Or yeah, his family like had that. A junkyard or something, and
did she come in to take pictures of
They talked to each other, and then she kind of went missing after that. Yeah. But I mean, what I liked so much about this is you need evidence, and I mean, they're really...
Right.
It's so interesting to watch the prosecutors and the defense working their case and trying to take all these clues and kind of weave them together, but that's what it is. It's woven together. It's not like actual evidence.
Yep.
I really would like to be on a jury.
Yeah.
Because I really would pay
attention.
Well,
I remember they brought you in on the case.
No,
and
they didn't.
You didn't know the difference between assault and battery, so they said, well, we can't have Wendy in on this now.
But it turns out a lot of people don't know that, and perhaps they would explain it prior to it, and you know I'd be the one taking notes.
Yeah, oh, I know that. There's no doubt.
Wisconsin, this is the news that broke 4 hours ago from Fox 32 News.
Yeah, I'm also seeing it from NBC.
Wisconsin inmate reportedly confessed to documentary crews that he killed Teresa Halbach, the murder victim whose mysterious death is at the forefront of the Netflix series Making a Murderer.
This is the guy who's already incarcerated? Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it says. The inmate is serving time for a different crime.
Oh.
Sean Reck, the director of Convicting a Murderer, an unaffiliated new documentary about Halbach's murder, told Newsweek Monday that his production company received a confession from one of the, quote, notable convicted murderers from Wisconsin. He said the confession is on audio. Reck is not releasing the man's name and has handed over the possible evidence to law enforcement as they continue to determine if the confession is legitimate. Now,
what do you make of this?
I don't know. Sometimes I've been watching Mindhunter, which is on Netflix, about these serial killers, and sometimes they want notoriety. They're in jail.
Yeah.
I don't know if they want more notoriety because they're not getting enough attention, so maybe they confess to something that they didn't do. I don't know. I mean, they obviously have to look. We haven't confirmed the legitimacy of this confession, but seeing as it was given by a notable convicted murderer from Wisconsin, we feel responsible to deliver any and all possible evidence to law enforcement and legal teams, according to this guy who's doing convicting a murderer, an unaffiliated new documentary about Teresa Halbach's murder.
Mm-hmm.
So he told Newsweek this, having been in production for 20 months, we've uncovered an unfathomable amount of information and evidence that is leading us to the truth. Our investigation does not end here. Two men, Stephen Avery and his nephew Brendan Dassey, have spent more than a decade behind bars after being convicted for the 2005 murder of photographer Halbach. Rec confirmed that the man who confessed is neither Avery nor Dassey. So it's a new person who is currently in jail. And see, that's what I want. I want the outcome, because these guys were convicted, and it just, it was kind of a, you don't feel sorry for these people because they're kind of a family that is not, they're
of any means.
Well,
right?
They seem to be not very educated, not very wealthy.
Yeah, I know.
And it just seems like it's easier to just say, okay, let's convict them.
But that was a thread running out throughout the show.
Yeah.
They were saying it'd be very easy to pin it on these guys because they don't
and
have the means to
Brendan Dassey
himself.
Was
he has some learning disabilities.
He does, and he was underage, and he was, you saw them talking to him, and he just was answering their questions, and they kind of were saying, come on, you saw your uncle do this, you helped, we got to finish up with this and then you can go back to school. And he's talking and answering questions. Yeah, I guess I did this. When can I go to school? Because I have a test. You can see he was not in the moment at all.
Right.
And it frustrated me being a parent to see that person, to see them talking to him without a parent present.
Right.
I don't recall if he was over 18. I don't think he was. I think he was 17 or something.
I think he was younger.
Yeah.
And without a lawyer or his parents?
No
there?
One. And it's like, and they, the police officers there were making it seem like, hey, you know, listen, we're just going to have a little talk. You're not in trouble.
Yeah.
And he did not comprehend what was happening.
Yeah.
So I often felt sorry for him. I would love to see what comes out. The 2016 documentary series explored theories that Avery might have been set up for the crime, given he had previously served time and had been exonerated for a sexual assault. Authorities said DNA evidence implicated Avery in the murder. And then Avery has Catherine Zellner, who is his attorney right now. She said her firm also received a handwritten confession from an unnamed inmate who admitted to killing Halbach. Zellner said her firm announced earlier this month that a citizen was offering $100,000 for information related to Halbach's real killer. So I don't know that this is solved.
Well, yeah, and Kathleen Zellner said that the confession is worthless unless it's corroborated.
Yeah.
So.
Remember when, this is right in the heart of the JonBenet Ramsey case, actually a couple of years removed, this guy comes forward and admits to it, and then they check it out and it was so not him.
Was he from Thailand or something, where there was,
I don't think
some
he was
kinda,
was he from Thailand or just he was
visiting or some connection?
There was there was something going on out that way. So I was working at another station and we had an expert on talking about that, and he said, the expert said, this happens all the time. Every major crime, you just get these
crazy
people coming
people.
Out of the woodwork, admitting to it. And he said, sometimes it takes us 5 minutes to realize it's not real. Sometimes it takes us longer. But I can't understand. I guess you're famous for a few minutes, so it's instant fame, but it's not the good kind.
No. That's what I was saying. You know, somebody who's in jail and not getting attention for anything anymore.
Yeah.
It's easy to, you know, get, although they're not releasing this person's name, but I cannot stand when things are left unfinished.
Unsolved, yeah.
I can't take it. Really, the JonBenet Ramsey thing still bothers me.
It's amazing with the strides they've made in technology of solving crimes exactly
right.
Like that one, that they cannot solve that crime.
But that was the, you know, the evidence was tampered with.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
But you still think, I mean, I don't know, maybe I watch too many of these TV shows where things are solved in, you know, 58 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But that one mm-hmm. still haunts me. I still want to know the truth to that.
Right.
And same with the Stephen Avery stuff. I just want to know.
not to sound like a total Kennedy conspiracist, but I always thought when I was younger that at some point we would find out the truth on exactly what happened. And I don't know that we're any closer.
John F. Kennedy?
Yeah.
We know what happened.
Do we? Yeah.
I don't know. I don't. It's so. I had a college professor who was so into the conspiracy and showed us the Zapruder film and really had his own theories. And it really is kind of fascinating.
There used to be a guy named Bob Harris. Bob, I think Bob still exists. I knew him because he tried doing stand up for a while, but it wasn't in his future.
So he went into conspiracy theorism.
He went into conspiracy theorism, and he got so many more laughs.
And that's
than he ever
so
got.
Funny.
He was like one of the premier Kennedy guys. Like he would go to colleges and do this show about how what you think you know about Kennedy, you don't know about Kennedy. And I saw a little bit of it online years ago. And the part that stood out, and I've heard other people address this, was that Lee Harvey Oswald just didn't have the capacity at that distance to shoot a moving target successfully.
It does seem weird.
Right. There was so much little things like that that... I don't know. I mean, I feel bad that now all these years later, you know, 55, 56 years later, we still don't know exactly what happened. And yeah, Wendy, it's very possible. Maybe we do. There just seemed to be so many little things that didn't add up about that.
I found the Bob Harris thing, but Googling...
I don't even know if he's still doing it. He did it for years. He'd go to, you know... do colleges and clubs and, you know.
So what was his conspiracy theory behind Kennedy, that there was others involved?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
More than one other person, or?
If I remember right, his thing was it showed different options of who could have been involved, you know, and there's no surprises. It's the names you've always heard in the past, you know, that were trying to cover things up. But I don't know if he's still out there doing it, but I always thought that was such a fascinating idea. And other people have done it. I've seen other people on television, you know, talking about how, you know, the exit of the bullet couldn't make sense from the angle and stuff. And
it's pretty fascinating.
But didn't you think when you were younger, when you would hear about potential cover-ups of that story, that at some point somebody
would
come forward and say, hey, it's been all these years. I remember somebody once was talking about how Jacqueline Kennedy at some point made a statement about how she was going to let some amount of years pass, and I don't remember if it was 20 or 25 years pass, and then she would tell her side of the story, and then that date came and went, and she never said anything. That she, you know, this promise that she made, when 20 years pass, when 25 years pass, then I'll tell you my thoughts on it, and it just no
she
one.
She never did.
Yeah. So I don't know if that's good news or bad news. Just
she
news.
Was such a private person.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know if she knows. I don't know. Now I just...
Right. Who would have told her, like if there was some sort of a cover-up, who would have said to Jacqueline Kennedy, we'll let you in. We'll tell you what happened, but don't say it then. Don't, please.
Right. I mean, it would have been the FBI,
right.
Maybe the CIA.
Maybe. I don't know.
Lecturer, comedian Bob Harris. We should try
they
and
see...
They
still say
it.
Comedian on his... Do they?
Yeah, this article, but this is from 93. Like
oh,
I said,
yeah.
This
That's
is... He went to Chicago's Second City, dabbled in stand-up comedy. He succeeded mostly in starving.
Wow.
that's what it says.
Blunt.
Quote, I had very little money at the time. I lived at the YMCA, and the times when I couldn't come up with the rent, I would stay at O'Hare Airport for a couple of nights, but at least I didn't have the souls of 1,000 dead Iranian children on my head, whatever that means. Eventually, Harris's stand-up career began to flourish to the point where, as he describes it, I was a notch below those comedians that got their own special on HBO.
Oh.
While working on a spoof of JFK conspiracy theorists, Harris had another conversation. The more reading I did, he basically became more into it. We should see if he's still doing it.
I would love to. Let's talk to him.
It is fascinating when you... See, I mean, I know we landed on the moon. I know we're not being bamboozled or the hoodwinked, if
right.
you will. But there are certain things that you just, it really makes sense when you see all sides of it.
You know the theory about what celebrity's father is supposed to be the gunman, right? Do you know this story at all? There's very, very famous now, and it's believed that
that's
person's
a joke.
Father. No, it's not a joke.
Who?
It's legit. I know this is a cliffhanger.
Say allegedly.
Can we do it tomorrow? I'll tell you who it is tomorrow.
You're gonna give... Trump, President Trump, bring this up as well?
No, I'm trying to remember.
The Inquirer had something on there.
Donald Trump, who was the politician who he said their father had a hand in it?
Oh, that's what I'm thinking about.
That's what I'm thinking of.
Was
who
it
was
Ted
it?
Cruz?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
That Ted Cruz's father was involved?
Yes. Right.
It's not that.
Okay.
There's a famous actor.
Oh, my God. If you don't listen,
I will divulge all
hours.
Tomorrow.
Oh, but wait. You have to do this during the bonus hour because
I'll
if
do
I
it
don't hear.
The bonus hour. Okay. All right. So I'll tell you who it is tomorrow. But there's a very famous actor who many people believe, if there was a second gunman, would have definitely been the second gunman. And there's a very good reason why. So I'll tell you what it is tomorrow.
In the meantime, we should see if we can get a hold of Bob Harris.
Let's talk to Bob Harris.
Yeah. And Bob Harris, right. I don't know where he's living now.
I'll find him. I'll go door to door. I won't rest until Bob Harris is in our clutches.
All right. You know, this is the best tease of your entire radio
this is a
career.
Good one.
Oh, thank you, Wendy.
A whole day.
You got to wait a day.
Oh, actually, that's not true. We had to wait 4 days for
but
you to talk to Dean
is,
about
though,
something.
The problem now is, though, it's still a spoiler, because if you Google it, it'll probably come up.
Oh, yeah,
off,
I
know?
Bet somebody could do that.
I'm going to Google it.
Everybody stay off your computers for one day.
Turns his mic off, I'm going to Google it.
No,
I'll
wait.
It's the
great American computer off for one day. All right. Kim, thanks for hanging
come
out.
Come back tomorrow, Kim.
Be back.
Now we got Kim on tomorrow. All right, that'll be fun. All right. We'll be right back. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Good night.
Tomorrow, Wendy, I will make good on my promise, and I will tell you. Now, remember, this is just a theory, but it's very possible.
Let's do a whole conspiracy theory show tomorrow.
You want an entire conspiracy theory show?
It's pretty fascinating.
Who'd be behind it? The Russians? The Cubans? Mark Cuban? Mark Russian?
Mark Cuban. A white Russian.
We'll drink white Russians. All right.
All right.
Now you got a show. All now that's a show. Thanks for listening, everybody. We want to thank our guests, Maggie Reardon from CNET, Joel McGee from Pawn Stars, Brett Gelman from Fleabag, and, of course, Booger McFarland.
I can't wait.
That's it for today. Bye, Wendy.
See you, Bill.